I told God I didn't want to go because, first of all, I thought that he had enough people out there. And secondly, that I'm not a preacher. And I don't like the idea of preaching. I want it to be something else. And Jesus showed me the picture of the church. A very, very sad picture. He showed me men who had been sent of God, who never fulfilled their calling. He showed me so many men sent of God who went and got distracted and turned aside, never fulfilled the calling. And so out there we have the greatest problem that has ever been in the church. Men who are sent of God, who can function in God, who function sometimes in God and sometimes they do their own thing. I'm showing you a picture. It's not a pretty picture. Well, I'm showing you this picture because we cannot follow the example of the men that we have seen out there. There's no example out there. We don't see the mothers of the church walking out there because the men who God sent are not walking right. So everything is out of kilter. And it's like going down the street with your wheel, your car wheel going like this. And you get a shimmy in the steering. And God is bringing back people to Christ Jesus. And God's going to have men and women who are not hirelings, who are not going for the money, who are not going for the praise, who are not going for the glory, but for God and for God alone. They'll give their lives any minute for God. Men like me who have no life. As far as I'm concerned, my life was forfeited way down the line 40 years ago. And God redeemed it for his purpose. And whatever I get, I'm very glad for it. As far as life is concerned, I thank God for every morsel. And if you understand where my wife and I went out, we have three children. We went out into the bushes to preach. And the power of God was always with us. And we were hungry sometimes for a week, preaching and pulling the three little children behind us. And nobody complained because we had no life. It was all God's. And if God didn't feed us, we were satisfied. So what you're seeing here now is the ministry manifesting through a vessel. Now, what God is saying to me tonight is we must come together and pour out our hearts of what we need, what we don't understand. Let us explain it. Let the Spirit of God explain it. Because if you ask me a question, God's going to give me the answer. All right. I see flash before me the candlestick. You didn't bring the board, brother.
I brought the board, but I've lost the
marker. Okay. Well, that means we don't need it. I see the candlestick standing before me now. And Revelation 1. With you remember, refresh our minds, brother. Mark, please read it for me. The first verse says, "This is the revelation of Jesus Christ."
God, do you want me to read? Something?
Yes, please, brother.
Okay. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him.
To Jesus Christ. Stop. Excuse me, interrupting. Okay. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Jesus Christ, okay. So that Jesus Christ needed a revelation of who he was. Are you with me? Jesus Christ took off his divinity and he took on humanity. And with it, he got a brain that was a human brain. It could not contain the fullness of the Godhead. Therefore, he lost something. God had to remind him of who Jesus Christ is. Go ahead, brother.
Which God gave to him to show unto his servants.
Yes.
Things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John.
Unto his servant John. So then, we see that Christ Jesus was not revealed to the church at Pentecost. Right? Remember now, we are after Pentecost now. We are several years after Pentecost. How much it is, Brother Mark? About 20 years?
It was about 95. From about 37 to 95, almost 60.
Almost 60 years. We are 60 years past Pentecost now. And Jesus Christ is not yet revealed. I tell you a secret. Jesus Christ is not yet revealed. He's being revealed. And Christ cannot be revealed to us. He is revealed in us. Hold your finger there. I'm terrible at holding your fingers. You won't have enough fingers to hold it. And you turn to John chapter, let's say 16 and verse 26. Let's see.
In that day she shall ask in my name. I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you.
Yes, let me hear that. Okay. You have John chapter 16?
Yes.
Yeah, what did 26 say?
In that day you shall ask in my name.
Yes.
And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for the Father himself loveth you.
Yes.
As you have loved me, you may be looking for 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, for the time cometh when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but will show you plainly of the Father.
Yes, it speaks of a revelation to come. But there is another verse there that I want you to read from the 13th.
Oh, 13 verse.
Yes, down to the 15th.
Okay. Nevertheless, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
Yes, and for he shall testify of me. Now, if you take the 15th and 26. Huh? Chapter 15, verse 26.
Yes.
Yes.
But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth from the Father, he will testify of me.
Mm-hmm. So then there is a revelation of Jesus Christ coming through the Holy Ghost. See, so the person who does not have the Holy Ghost does not have any of this revelation of Jesus Christ, for it is a work that is done within. And the more, the closer you are to the Holy Spirit, the more you obey the Holy Spirit, the more of this revelation you receive. You notice that there is a progressive revelation. He said, you cannot bear it now. I can't tell you because you can't bear it now. But when he will guide you into all truth. Have we got all? It means that we are daily getting more and more. And the more you submit to the Spirit, the more you will get. But there is an end to it. That was the beginning of it. Do you know we are at the end of it? that God says that even at one time when the angel of the seventh trumpet will put one foot on the land and one in the sea. Amen. That means he is going to be standing in the carnal realm, both in the nations and on the carnal, the natural earth. You see, that the Spirit of God, that God will send his angel to stand in our midst and proclaim the seventh trumpet. And he said, the mystery of God shall be finished. You hear me? Now, the seventh trumpet has not yet blown. No, because the seventh trumpet is the resurrection trumpet. So we definitely know that that trumpet has not yet blown. So that means we have not yet learned all we need to learn. There's one final lesson that will bring the fullness of Christ to us. That's the seventh trumpet. Now, the picture that I'm seeing then is Jesus standing. Read verse 12 for me, brother. We go to Revelation,
verse
12. Okay, here's the candlestick standing here. My two arms would be the outer ring, and then you have two more here, and one more here. Two. So six, seven. The middle, my head would be the middle of the candlestick, and this is the seventh church, or the seventh candlestick. Now I want you to read it with that picture in mind now.
And I turned to see the voice that spoke to me.
Yes.
And being turned, I saw seven golden lampstands.
No, seven golden lampstands. And if you read your Bible with much diligence, you discover that the scripture puts the candlestick or the lampstand in plural. I can't draw it, but watch it. This here would be the outer ones. Number one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Or one, two, three, four, five, six, number seven in the middle one. Now, each one had a little lamp, like you remember Aladdin's lamp? Something looking like that, with its little wick on the top of it, and the oil would be down into the candlestick, and the priest would pour the oil down in, and this long wick went down. It is said that the priest's garment, the old garment, they would take it and twist it and make the wicks. Now, I don't want to go into details of the candlestick, but what we are seeing then is the church. Seven candlesticks means seven churches. That is the fullness of God's church. Okay? Good. Now let's read about what he saw.
And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man.
Oh, something's there. Now this middle one, inside of the lampstand, a man was standing up. Figure that out. You know, here is a golden lampstand, and it's standing on the ground because that's the one that bears up all the others. And in the middle candlestick, there was the Son of God. It means to me that one of those churches in Revelation is coming forth in the end time. Christ is coming forth in that church. Amen. It's simple. Every truth in your Bible must be attested by many other words. Accept no word unless you can prove it from many other scriptures. Amen. Now, is this thought true? If this thought is true, then it means that God is going to have a special people at the end of time. I can name you them. He called them the elect. Some people said it's the Jews. Those people are just crazy. So I wouldn't even answer that. It's just a crazy thought. Here we have E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. ecclesia or ecclesia. I'm dividing up the word that you might see the ek as a prefix. You see, ecclesia is the word, but ek before ecclesia means out of, ex, expert or ex whatever you are, you're out of something. So ecclesia means out of, called out of. Ecclesis is to call, and so you call in out of. Okay, so then the ecclesia is the church, what we call the church. The word church in English means ecclesia in Greek, meaning to say you are called out from the world. Called out from the world. Now, out of the called out, there is a called out. So Jesus Christ used the word ecclesia in one place, and then he used the other word eklektos. E-K-L-E-K-T-O-S. Eklektos. And the eklektos means selected ones. The elected ones. And we call it the elect. Now, he did not say that the world would be saved because of the ecclesia or ecclesia. But the world would be saved because of the eklektos. What are we talking about? He said, many are called. Many are ecclesia, are ecclesia, but few are eklektos, chosen. And God is saying to us tonight that there is a people at the end of time who must rise up to redeem the time in which they live, or else that time will prove to be the destruction and the total loss of everything. And speaking in Malachi, the Spirit of God says that I shall send Elijah before that great and dreadful day, that he may turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, but for this eklektos, no flesh would be saved. That means humanity would be completely wiped out from off the face of the earth. This was not possible. This was not possible up to 1945. But then gradually people begin to come to it. When I started preaching this message, people say, you're mad, you're crazy, it can't be done. But Jesus said, but for the elect's sake, it would be done. America comes out with it. Scientists come out with it. Russian scientists now come out with their report that truly, if we have an atomic war, it's going to destroy humanity. Amen? We know better. What's the trump we have up our sleeves? That God's not going to let it happen. That God's going to stop them. And God's going to stop them by the eklektos. By you. The Bible says, them that sigh and cry. Said, call the six men with their destroying weapons. And said, destroy. But come not near them that have the mark of God in their forehead. That there is a people. When I asked Jesus Christ, tell me Lord, and as I explained this morning, he finally told me, and he said, I'm going to bring the fullness of Christ into human beings, and they will stop the enemy from destroying the earth. And it blesses my soul. It blesses my soul. And I know the only thing that's going to prove that God really told me so is when it happens. But the word of God does say so. This Christ standing in one of the churches. Can you imagine seeing a peculiar manifestation of a candlestick, and yet a man is standing inside of the candlestick and his head comes out? Let's read about what he looked like.
clothed with a garment, with a garment down to the foot.
Yes.
And girded about the breasts with a golden girdle.
That means he was covered with righteousness. A garment is righteousness. He was that a church that will be clothed in righteousness. Let me show you that church again in your Bible. You don't need to turn to it, but you believe me, it's there. The 12th chapter of Revelation says that there was a woman who was clothed with the sun, and the moon was under her feet. That's a church. The old order church was under her feet. There's no way that you can walk in the body of Christ and be a member of an old order church. What I mean by an old order church, I mean by any church that is under man. What I mean by under man, I mean that any church that is not under the ministry of God. Because there is a ministry that God has ordained, and there is a ministry that man has ordained. And I don't know of any ministry who is preaching according to their Bible school knowledge or their seminary knowledge who is under God. Because you cannot be under God and under the bishop at the same time. And I mean from the Pentecostal right down. Yes. I went and joined a Pentecostal church, and God came to me after 8 years and told me that you have turned away from me. Oh yes. And that Pentecostal church was just the best that there was. Because I was moving in the spirit and so on. But not following the spirit, following the bishop and the rule book and the order and man. And I'm saying man has taken away God's church, and God is taking it back, and God is calling people to stand in that candlestick church, that center pole of the candlestick. You know why? If that church does not rise up in Christ, the world is lost. That church is going to save the world when it gets so dark, when it gets so much midnight, that there is no more hope for humanity. See? And so this church was girded with a linen girdle, and girded, covered with righteousness, and girded with truth. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
His head and his hair were white like wool.
His head and his hair was white as wool. What happened? Come on, tell me about this church. In Revelation 12, she's a woman, but she had a man child. There's only God's way of saying that the church took off its woman-like womanlikeness and put on the Christ-likeness. No longer a church that must receive life to produce life, but a church which gives forth life. That's what it means by male in the scripture. That which gives forth life, you'll have the Christ, the fullness of Christ in you, so that you give forth the life rather than having to continuously receive life. Can you imagine God pouring so much life in us and so little coming out? You know, you're pouring in so much energy into something, and the thing is producing so little as we are producing. God said, no more of that. And so the Christ descend into this church. What the white hair means? What my white hair means?
Age, maturity.
Maturity. Yeah. Sure. That's what it means. And that's what that means. It means a church that has come to maturity in Christ. Yes, brother. Read it.
White as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like the flame of fire.
Yes, God speaking about judgment. God speaking about judgment. Holy Ghost vision. And no longer wishy-washy and stumbling in judgment. But the judgment that's coming from the eyes is showing the power of God now possessed of the body and coming forth through the eyes. Amen. Yes.
Verse And his feet were like fine bronze, as if they were burned in a furnace.
Yes, 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 yes. He's walking through the tribulation. Some people say the church won't go through the tribulation. There it is. God says that this body is going to be walking through the fire. Amen. Praise be to God. Go ahead.
And his voice like the sound of many waters.
A many-membered body. Many voices. Many-membered body. It's not a one-man company. It's a many-membered body we are looking at. Yes?
And he had in his right hand seven stars.
And this church is holding the seven ministries to the seven churches, because this church is going to minister life to the rest of the church in the darkness. Yes.
And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword.
The power of the spoken word will at last come to us. When we say be healed, you will be healed. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. There will be no hit and miss. Amen. It will be, thus the power of the spoken word will be terrible in the earth. And man will see Jesus Christ. The people of the world will see Jesus Christ from this church. Yes.
And his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength.
Amen. And you remember that? You know how many scriptures say that the sons of God will be like the sunshine in strength? In Matthew 13, right? You remember that scripture? In Matthew 13, it says they were like the sun shining in the kingdom of God. Like the sun shining in its strength. Was it? It's in the latter part of the chapter. Amen. Matthew 13, in verse 43. Read that for me, please.
Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Do you notice how to study your Bible? Every word has meaning, and it is explained in your Bible. Just look up your concordances and check what the word meant, and you'll have the meaning of the scripture without having to, you know, be guessing what it means. So it is the righteous then that will shine as the sun in the kingdom of God. In other words, there will be darkness on the earth. There will be darkness on the people, but there will be a people who will be the light of God. If you turn around to Joel chapter 2, Joel chapter 2, and it is in verse 1.
Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in my holy mountain.
Yes.
Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is near at hand.
Yes.
And a day of darkness,
yes,
and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, like the morning, spread upon the mountain.
No. Go back. Okay. It says a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong. In other words, it's the construction of the sentence that is could be better. You could say a great people and strong will be as the morning spread upon the mountain. See what we're saying? So therefore, the morning that God is talking about, the great light that is shining, that God is talking, is you. He's depending on you to be the light. You will shine forth as the sun. You know? In the darkness of a world that has gone crazy, there will be the only light and the only hope will be a people who are not crazy and who will be seeing Jesus and can bring forth life. You don't have to send an offering to get the life. Amen. And to get the light and the deliverance. So, That is it, brother. We go back to, you get to verse 20 for me. And verse 20 will explain what the seven stars are.
The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which thou sawest are the seven churches.
Okay. Isn't that simple? It's simple. But a lot of people don't understand it. I went to one church and I preached that. And they asked me not to come back. Why? Because I said those seven angels are not seven created angel beings. Because that's what I asked God. And that's what Jesus Christ showed me in the scripture. Because the next verse after that, I'm talking about the next chapter. Read the next chapter for my brother.
Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden lamps. I know thy works,
yes,
thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them who are evil. And thou hast tried them who say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars.
Yes.
And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love.
Wait, stop, brother.
Remember therefore from when thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy lampstand out of its place, except thou repent.
Wait, do you mean to say that God is talking to a created being like that? An angel in heaven? It must be a man. God couldn't be asking an angel to repent. The angel, the word angel there, don't let it deceive you. It's the only word that they have in the Greek to use for messenger. So those seven angels in God's right hand are seven men that God always have through all the ages bearing the truth of the gospel. Amen. And as one die, as one fall, as one fail, God rise up another one. Yes. And that's what God is doing. And in our time, all the light is coming forth, because God is bringing things to a conclusion. You know, put yourself in the place of God. Sometimes you should just sit down and think, you know, if I were God, what would I do? If I were God, what would I do? The man said to God, a little poem said, Edin Broad, said to God, have mercy on me, Lord God, as I would have mercy on thee if thou were Edin Broad and I were God. That is the way he could relate to God. He knows that God's going to have mercy on him, because God, if I were God, I would have mercy on Edin Broad. And seeing, you just think of yourself as God, and all that's going on in the world, all the murder, all the destruction, man's gone wild, everything's out of order, and you're going to bring forth order. What would you do? What would you do? You'd first get those who are obedient to you and put them in order. Hallelujah. And then they've been crying to you for years and years, Lord, make me like Jesus Christ. Make me like Jesus Christ. Thy kingdom come, Lord God. Thy will be done in me, Lord, as it's done in heaven and in Christ. And one day, it's okay, I'm going to do it. That make you like Jesus. All of a sudden, many saviors are walking on Mount Zion. I'm quoting scripture. You recognize it? You recognize that it's a scripture I'm quoting? That he says, and in that day there will be many saviors on Mount Zion. God's going to create men and women, natural human beings, in the image of Jesus Christ, his Son. He says, that he may be conformed to the image of his Son. Believe it.
Amen.
Talk about faith. Talk about faith. Some of us say we have the faith message. You have nothing unless you can apply your faith message to becoming like Jesus Christ. You have not yet touched faith. For faith was made for spiritual conquest.
Amen.
Yes.
And overcoming.
Glory.
Sabbath and some of us think that faith was made to get Cadillacs, and faith was made to get pieces of land, and faith was made to make us comfortable, and faith was made to make us rich, because no child of God is supposed to be poor. Brother, woe be unto you who use your faith for carnality.
Hallelujah.
For if you dare to use your faith for carnal things, then God is only tempting you to use it for spiritual things. For if we must be like Christ, we must first believe it.
Amen.
God, I can't make it. I remember when I went to Jesus Christ, I said, I'm no good. Oh, I'm a murderer at heart. I'm a vile sinner. I cannot live a Christian life, God, and I know it. But if you say I can live it, you're going to have to do it to me. He did it. Hallelujah. I watched myself the first month. I didn't have any desire for sins. I didn't drink one sip of liquor, brother. I didn't decide to go to a dance. I had no more desire. All I wanted was my Bible. Oh, I was glad. I began to rejoice because I didn't know it could happen. I was so wild and so awful that I couldn't. I had no hope in me. Now some sinners don't know themselves, but I know myself. I was a beast, and there was no hope in this beast. I knew it. Just brutal inside, looking at all the beautiful things and would love to be nice. Went out and they could tell you that this man is the greatest gentleman. Oh, I did everything to make everybody believe I was a gentleman. The brute was hiding inside. And I didn't want anybody to disturb me. Because if you disturb me, then all the beastliness would show out. So I pretended to be a gentleman and was so nice and kept away. But praise be to God, Jesus came. And he set me free. And we need to believe this. You can be like Jesus Christ. Listen, sister, you don't have to die to be like Jesus. You know, you remember the song we used to sing about when we get over yonder? I will be like him when I shall see him in his glory. You remember that? I'll be like him when I shall behold him. Oh, poor people. I see the Baptists still singing that. I said, poor little children. Oh, God, help them. We are going to be like Jesus Christ now.
Amen.
We have started on the way. See to it that every bad fault that is in you, you get down on it before Jesus Christ and hate it. Don't just hate the faults in me. We readily see the wrong in others. God help me to see the wrong in me. Oh yes. Sometimes it's painful somebody tell you of some fault in you. Do you know sometimes you need a good cursing? A sinner ever curse you? Look you in the eye and tell you you are no good so and so. You know what happened? Listen to them. The devil is seeing something in you, and you go back to Jesus Christ and say, my God, what did she see in me? Why she cursed me like that? Amen. when Shimei cursed David. One man said, let me go take his head off. David said, no. God let him curse me. God made him curse me. Something must be wrong. If what God is saying to us tonight, brethren, is that we are to be like Jesus, and it's very soon. And if we are to be just like Jesus, then we better see some signs now of some change. We must want to be like Jesus and ready to surrender the bad ways, the bad habits, the carnality, and the things that we have in us that is not of God. We should know them and hate them and go on our knees and say, my God, take them from me. When I prayed to God about my violent nature, I was a fighter. I love boxing. I love to fight. And God Almighty saw it. It was deep grained in my soul. I was a Christian. I couldn't get rid of it. And I said to God, help me, God. And I fasted and prayed. And the moment the fast was over, God sent a man to slap and punch me and fight me. Amen. And God said, since you want it, I'm going to give it to you. And this man came, and he, a double-fisted boy, and he got down on me. Bam, 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 bam. And I said, Jesus, help me. Don't let me hit him. And he drove me on the wall and worked at me. And I said, Jesus, don't let me touch him. And that was the first time in my life that I ever refused a fight, and the first time that I got rid of the demon that was in me. When the boy left me against the wall, I broke out into uncontrollable laughter in the office, and all the secretaries and everything, you fool. Hallelujah. I couldn't help it. But it's the first in my life that I've ever resisted that devil, and he fled from me like crazy. Born to tribulation. If this is what I need, God, give it to me. Don't be afraid. I said, get thee up. Be not afraid. Get thee up. You remember? He said, get thee up. Be not afraid. And say unto the cities of Judah, behold thy God. You must get up and say, God, if it's necessary to kill me, kill me. But I want to be like Jesus, and I want it now. Amen. It's time. How long are we going to wait? Jesus Christ walked this earth for 3.5 years in perfection. God said the body of Christ will also walk the earth for 3.5 years in perfection. Did you know that? It was 7 years that was given, and Jesus took 3.5 and manifested Christ in the earth. And God is giving the church the privilege to manifest Christ in the earth in the worst time that will ever be on earth from God made man until this time. You hear me? And it's all brewing together. Because you know who are going to be our chief persecutors? Our church brethren. Our church brethren are preparing to persecute us. Oh yes. And the world is getting wise, you know. I saw the IRS want to attack the church. After the Jim Jones thing, the IRS decided to wipe out every small organization and only have the Catholics and the World Council of Churches. And those who don't join the Catholics and the World Council of Churches were put down on the hit list to wipe them out. And you know who they hit first? They hit Armstrong over in California.
Herbert
Armstrong. Yeah. And do you know what happened? Not a soul said anything about it. Some of the church people say, serve him right. He might not be right on, but he names the name of Christ. He believes in the blood. He was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has false doctrine, but that, but the church didn't. It didn't bother them, but the IRS knew that. The IRS knew that you were not going to say anything about it. They go to hit Scott, an obnoxious brother. They hit him, and the church, the world, the church didn't say anything about it. They went, they hit 52 churches were closed in California, including our little body that we had there. Come and close us, but ready to take us over. We spend our years that we must go join the World Council of Churches or the Catholic Church. We said no. And they give us an ultimatum. For the 31st of December, you will be designated a public corporation. We disbanded. Amen. But I'm just saying all that to say that even the world knows that the persecution is coming. You know when the persecution is going to hit you? When ecumenism become a reality. When the churches come together under the Catholic system. And those of you and those of us who refuse to come in. Every inducement will be given for us to come in. See? Then they will start pulling our mortgages. You have mortgages? Well, you look out. They'll start pulling our mortgages. Then they'll start. They'll use every means, and it will be persecution by law. You know why? Right now, tonight, there are laws on the books that can arrest every one of us in your house, brother. Tonight. The police have come in on us already in a house in California. And say, well, we won't arrest you, but shut down this meeting. No more meetings. We had to shut down. See, there are many laws. They got a lot of laws. You're supposed to have so many restrooms for women and for men. You're supposed to have a back door. And the door must be so wide for so many people going there. Your ceiling must be such a height. And fire law say your ceiling must be such a height if you have people coming in. We could come in here and have a party and drink all night. No problem. Because party is not under law. But Christian meeting is under law. So you better believe it. The stage is set. They're just not bothering us for now. They're getting their business straightened out first. Amen. I'm going to stop here. I want to have a discussion with you. I want to be able to answer your questions. But the Lord has showed me this candlestick that God is bringing forth a people, a different people, not a church order, no more organized churches. God's bringing forth his body. An organism under God, a part of God himself. People who will only move when God moves them. Amen. People who will move under elders ordained of God. And that person who is not ordained of God can't even preach to them. See what I mean? This is what God is doing. You see, he couldn't do it before because most of the men God ordained, they went off and did their own thing. But now there are some hard-headed men coming forward who are not going to submit to the world system. These men work with their own hands. Don't you know Paul worked with his own hands? And he said he worked with his own hands. He had to be independent because he was a pioneer of God. Well, the church is being brought forth. The body of Christ is being brought forth out of the church. Hallelujah. And there's a birthing and a pain and a crying because a woman is travailing and bringing forth something. When a woman went into the wedding feast, and at midnight, after midnight when she came out, it was no longer a woman. She had turned into a man child. Can you understand that? The only thing in the world that God could use as an analogy to let us understand it is a woman being pregnant and bringing forth a third party. What happened is that they went in as two. Christ went in and the woman went in, and there was a union in there, and she come out with Jesus Christ as a head.
Amen.
And her as the body, and one person came out.
Amen.
Can we understand then what the man child means? The man child means a church that will be so joined to Jesus Christ that you won't know the difference.
Amen.
That's what the man child means. Hallelujah. And I'm going to stop and just let you be free to ask all the questions that are on your heart, those things that you don't understand, because there is so much that you don't understand. I've been hearing about this for 40 years from Jesus Christ. You understand? And God is using men to teach men. No one man is going to have the whole thing, because we have to depend on one another. Amen. So this is why God is creating men. Don't ask me why he called me. I didn't want to. I didn't want to be a preacher. I don't want to still. Amen. But I want to please God. While I please God, if you sweep in the street and I'm pleasing God, I'm all right. I don't care about preaching. But I am doing what he wants me to do tonight by being here. So you do what God wants you to do by asking any question or giving any answer that God would put in your heart. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.
This morning about the man who came into the wedding.
Yeah.
And he did not have the wedding garment on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could you say a little more about that and just expound on that a little bit? And
yes.
This was evidence that the wedding feast that was being spoken of here was not a rapture in the terms that we have
been taught,
heard in the past. That it was something different. That it was a change of a different nature.
Yeah.
And that otherwise, could God have raptured this man by mistake?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can you expound on that a little more?
Well, the when Jesus sent me out, he told me to carry food for the wedding feast. Right?
Yes.
So I learned from that then that the wedding feast is on earth here. That actually what's happening now is the wedding feast.
Right now.
Right now. In all groups now, God is putting forth a new strong food to us, which is the wedding feast. Now, there are many in our midst, therefore, who have the wrong motive. And we have preached out many, many churches, probably 100 different groups we have preached out, and lost them. Because right in among the elders, there was somebody who wanted to make a church. And they would go along with us, and go along with us, until the church was full, and they all of a sudden take over and said, I don't believe everything that the seal says. And close the door, ask us not to come back and take over and get a ready-made church. This happens to us time and time and time again, until we get so weary of it that we begin to tell the people about the Babylonish church that is even within us, that we must get rid of. You see, where there are strong brothers and sisters who see the truth, there is the hope, because they're going to prevent others coming in and taking over. So there has to be a strong. And so this man who was in the wedding feast, he thought he was all right because he was in the body of Christ with the people he was fellowship. But his motive, his character, his righteousness was at fault. See, in the Jewish wedding feast, when you get to the door, while you come through the door, There are ushers there that will take you into a little antechamber and will give you water to wash your feet. And you wash up, and they give you a robe that you put on, so that nobody, everybody in the wedding feast has on the same clothes. And that's the righteousness they clothe you with. But if you came through the window, if you came through the window, you would not have on. And Jesus said, there are some that come, they're like a thief. They come through the window, they come through another place, but not by the door. For I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So we discovered that there were some people amongst us. Thank you. There were some people amongst us who were not even saved. And it's horrible to think of. A man can get up, he can say the right things, he can preach the right messages, and those are the people who are always taking over. They didn't even get a true salvation experience. And that is that's the man with the bad garment on. Amen.
Share with these people ahead of time.
There is this the ministry of discernment in the church. The discernment is not just in one person. Let me tell you what happens. You see these people sitting down here. In a gathering like this, there's a perfection of discernment. Dormant, not being used, not encouraged. Now it is the ministries, the ministers' duty to encourage the discernment, the everything, the Christ in the people, so that the body will be a living body. Now if somebody comes into a living body with a demon, a devil in him, a wrong impression, a wrong intention, the Spirit of God will just expose it. See, so that the wrong person could not come and preach in your midst. He couldn't survive. You could let him in. Invite him to come here. And it would, he would probably fall on the floor. He couldn't speak. Like in China, this brother went to China to preach. That's before the communists came in. And he had a demon in him. And it was pride. And he was the big preacher, you see, going to these poor Chinese brethren. A little boy. Discern an evil spirit in a man. And the little boy went to the elders. And the elders said, well, the Bible said, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Let us bind him. And let us bind him until he is delivered from that spirit. And the brother went in, and everybody was like this. He shook the elder, what's wrong, brother? I'm here. Nobody would answer him. And they were all there praying to God to bind him. He doesn't know what they're praying for. He thought that these are a weird set of people, you know. And anyhow, they got up. The elder said, all right, brother, you come from America to give us a message? Say, now, give us the message. He got up, opened his Bible. Nothing. His mouth couldn't function. Nothing. And he got desperate. And he couldn't talk. And he fell down on his knees, and a terrible cry came out of him. And he was dead. and they explained to him what they had done. So discernment in a body. And then we have to be very careful. There are spirits of divination that will come to people in the body and tell them about other people. One sister saw the other sisters and brother. Two sisters and a brother has three cats clawing up the other people. And it destroyed the whole body. Because the sister thought that she surely saw it. Now God is not going to tell you something about somebody else like that unless it's a case of deliverance. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. So we have got to be pure at heart before we can function. Right? Mm-hmm. And so that's an answer to the question.
Can I ask another question?
Oh, if you could, that's what we're here for.
Okay. I really want to understand this prophecy of the end of time here.
Yeah.
The word gives in Daniel a 7-year period of time, mm-hmm, in which he will accomplish certain things.
Yes. Yes.
The word, as I study, does not say a 7-year period of the Great Tribulation.
Amen.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, you said tonight that the saints will walk on the earth 3.5 years.
Yes.
Okay. I also, I'm getting up to my question here.
Yes.
The word, I think you mentioned this morning, that we are not appointed unto wrath.
No.
Okay, and then there is a time in this period when the bowl of wrath is poured out on the earth, which apparently is the wrath of God.
Not in the 3.5-year period, excuse me.
Okay, then you tell
me. It's after. In Daniel. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. It says that Messiah shall be cut off in the midst of the week, and he shall cause the oblation and the sacrifice to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate even unto the end of the consummation. Right?
Yes.
Now we're talking about then for Daniel's 70th week. In other words, Daniel said all God's program would be closed in 70 weeks. And he only gave 69 weeks, but in verse 27 he said in the other week, for half of the week, Messiah would be cut off. So therefore Jesus Christ was doing a work, and he was cut off 3.5 years in that work. So that means there is a vacant 3.5 years left for Messiah to manifest again in the body. And if you look at the rest of Daniel 10 times in the whole scripture, you see that the saints shall reign and rule for 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. Are you there?
Okay.
In Daniel 8 verse 27, Daniel 7, I'm not looking at my Bible, but what Daniel 7, Daniel 8, is it 8, 27? Okay, no, all right, Daniel 7. Look at Daniel 7, 21.
Okay.
Until
7:21.
It's got to be. Yes, I beheld on the same horn made war with the saints.
The same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the angel.
Until, wait. So our problems end right at that until.
Mm-hmm.
That the Antichrist will be warring against us and will overcome us until. Go ahead.
The until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High.
Yes.
And the time came and the saints possessed the kingdom.
Yes. Verse 27. Now.
Okay. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion. And all dominions shall serve and obey him.
Okay. Go up again now. And there is a place that says time and half a time. Right between the 22nd and 27th verse there. Somewhere between the 22nd and the 27th verse. Yes.
He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall war and shall wear out the saints of the Most High.
Yes.
And shall think to change the times and the laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until a time.
Until again. Until a when?
A time. Time and the dividing of time.
I ask the Lord, when, Lord, are we going to gain the victory? He said, for the last 3.5 years of time, he's going to give us the victory. And we, in 3.5 years, we will destroy the kingdom of the Antichrist by the power of God. See, now that reference to time and time and a half is about 10 times in the scripture. If you turn to Revelation chapter 11 and look at verse 3,
and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days.
1,260 days is exactly 3.5 years. And if you look at verse 2, you said it is for 42 months. Exactly 3.5 years.
But they say there are two of these periods. The two together make up the seven.
No, I think, yeah.
The 3.5 that Jesus used, mm-hmm. And 3.5
that... So you're saying that Jesus used
3.5, yes. Seven, let me tell you something. I ask God this thing. Because, you know, I just ask every question that you could ask. And he said to me, put it on a big sheet of paper. And I wrote out all the 3.5 years of time and times and half on a big sheet of paper. And he said, now, everyone that agrees with the other, draw a line from that one to that one. And do you know that the lines were drawn completely across the page? Everyone agreed. It's the same time. You see, the time when the Antichrist will reign is time and time and half a time. And the time when the saints will gain power is a time and time and half a time. The time when the woman goes into the wilderness is time and time and half a time. The time when the two witnesses will be prophesied is time and time and half a time at the same time. All this is happening at the same time. So the beast is going to be reigning. The sons of God will get at power at midnight and begin to grow in their power. It's going to take us 3.5 years to come to maturity after we receive the fullness of Jesus Christ.
So when is the wrath of God then?
After the tribulation of these days. You see, after the tribulation, after this destruction, this distress, in the tribulation, the saints of God will receive power. So there were some people who will be walking above the tribulation, not touched. That's the promise in chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 10, where he says, and I, if them that keep my commandments, I will keep them from the hour of tribulation that shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the face of the earth. So there are some of us who are going to be walking way above tribulation. We cannot be touched. If you look at the two witnesses, if anyone touched them, he will be burned by fire.
Yes.
Can't be touched. So there is going to be a ministry who will not be touched. Yet God said they will live in sackcloth. I mean, there's no way you could be rejoicing to see the distress of God's people that will be on the earth. It will be horrible to see what's going on. Yet the relief, the only relief that the people of God will have, will be the supernatural ministry that will cross borders by supernatural means, that will go into every prison and minister to the people of God. You see what I'm saying? Now, at the end of that period of time, God is going to call his elect and say, come on, now follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Revelation 14 verse 1. So then I saw a Lamb stand on Mount Zion, having with him the 144,000. Of course, you know that's not a number, it's a symbolic figure. Those that have comfort in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And now they are going to be the Lamb company. And they will go up and offer themselves. Since you're killing all saints, kill us. And the devil will be just as foolish as he was at Calvary. Because if the devil had any sense, he wouldn't kill Jesus. Mm-hmm. See what I mean? He killed Jesus and he destroyed himself. And he's going to try and kill the saints again. And the saints are going to allow him to kill them, because you know that will be 3.5 days after that they will resurrect, pick up their heads, put it on, walk on the street, show themselves, overthrow the kingdoms of this world. And that's a trap that God has set for Satan, and there's no way he can keep away from it. He's heading right into it, so I can talk about it. And no matter how the devil hears me, he's going to still fall into that trap. Come on, brother.
The key word,
yes,
of the whole thing I that I came up against, that I could not know,
yes,
what that key word was the word elect. On everything hangs that word.
Okay. All right.
You see now, and they say, but that's the Jews.
Okay. Okay.
If the word elect means Jews, yeah, then you can say the rapture takes all Christians away. They do not face,
yes,
any tribulation.
Good.
If the word elect means saints and Christians, then it means that saints and Christians must go.
Good, good. Well, it's very simple again. It's,
yes,
a key word. When I ask God about the elect, God says that in every age he has had an elect people.
Yes.
In other words, the Jews were the elect to bring forth Christ.
Amen.
The church is God's elect to bring forth Christ in the body. Now, the key to it is that I asked Jesus, I said, God, are you talking about the natural Jew or the spiritual Jew? And as I told you before, he never answered me. And I wonder, why is God not answering me this one question? For years I've been asking him the same question. Is it the natural Jew or the spiritual Jew? Every time I said it, no answer. And then I realized why he's not answering me. Because there's no natural Jew and no spiritual Jew. There's only one. God said, out of twain, he's making one new man. See? So, all of us, you are saved, yet you are not what you ought to be. Amen. You got Jesus Christ, yet you're not like Jesus Christ. The man over here believes in his Messiah. He believes Jesus has not come yet. Yet he's crying to his Messiah. His heart is yearning for his Messiah. And he's not complete. And you are not complete. But God said, them also will I bring. And he's bringing the whole thing together. And Paul said, When we come together, it will mean life from the dead. Because you see, in the Jacob's trouble, or what we call a tribulation, or the terror that is going to happen to the Israelites, to the Jews, it's going to bring them to know that their Messiah is Jesus. I want you to see the sign. Look at the sign of our times. Our people forget so easily. But in the 1973 war, God called me and drew on a blackboard and showed me. He drew on a blackboard and showed me. And we saw miracles done of God in the desert down there. Oh yes, Christ manifested himself before the armies of the Egyptians and overcame them. Three men captured a whole tank regiment. And when they asked them, why did you surrender to us? They said, oh, we couldn't fight that force that was behind. They saw a whole army of tanks coming down on them, and they came out with their hands up. Only three men were there. You see what I'm saying? They were lost. Three Jewish boys lost. All they had was their guns in their hands, and a whole tank regiment came up to them and surrendered, and they didn't know why, and they saw. Another time we understand these men were pinned down and there was no hope for them, and they saw a man in white rushing toward them, and they dropped their weapons and ran, and the government quashed it down. But even in our newspaper we saw the cartoonist draw the Jew saying to the Arab, my big brother will take care of you. And the God over him, big brother. And so we see in our time God manifesting. Don't you know, brethren, that when the Jews get into real trouble, that God is going to manifest himself to them, and every true-hearted Jew who loves his Messiah is going to cry out to God, and the Messiah will come and save them, and they will get to know Jesus. Amen. So this is where we stand, and I mean, I say it's a glorious day, and there's no words to compare what we are seeing, and the excitement that makes me not be able to relax in my home. I don't live there. I haven't been there for the whole year. We haven't spent 2 months at home because of the excitement of what we see happening, and the church is not seen, and we are so glad when we catch people like you who will listen. You know, I said this morning how I'm happy to be here with you, and you think it's just be nice. That's not be nice at all. I'm really happy to find even 2 or 3 people who will listen. Is it because the elect is not many? And if we get many, we're going to get contaminated. We got to be few to be strong, because it is the few that will save the many. It's a Gideon army, hallelujah, that is going to save the rest of the church. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yes, brother.
You said that the fullness of Christ will come, but it'll take 3.5 years for us
to mature.
I'm old. How does that happen?
Okay.
You know, if the fullness of Christ is manifested,
yes.
You know, how come it's going to take 3.5 years for the maturing?
All right. If you receive all the fullness of Jesus Christ now, your soul would still be you, and you'd have to get used to the mind of Christ. You'd have to get used to the feelings of God passing through your emotions, that you don't use your emotions anymore like you used to, but that God is making you feel. You'd have to get used to it. You'd have to get to know how to handle it and what God is really saying to you. Your desires would be changed immediately. You'd be an entirely different person, you see, and you'd be called upon to go minister some other place. You know, you'll be lifted up and suddenly find yourself in Russia. Amen. Speak in the language of the Russians, dealing with them. And you would have to learn. The Bible said Jesus Christ learned. Yes, remember? It said that he learned through
obedience through the things he suffered.
Yes, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. So the fullness of Christ would be something new to you, and you're going to have to learn. Then now again, you have to learn how to handle the power that God gives you. See, I show you what I mean. Here was a man named Elijah, and Elijah was one of the most powerful men that God ever put on the earth, like a Moses man or something like that. And Elijah speaked the word and fire came down from heaven, burnt up sacrifice, burnt up the stones, and manifested God in the most dreadful way before the people. And he took the sword and killed 3,000 priests of Baal. And he picked up his garment and he ran faster than horses. Amen. And he heard that Jezebel swear that she's going to get him. And he left his table and ran and hide. He was out of the spirit. You see, when he was doing all that, he was in the spirit. But there was another man that came, and the man said, God, give me a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And he caught the mantle and he saw Elijah and he received the double portion of the spirit. And he struck the wall and said, in the name of the God of Elijah, sea divided. And you know what he did? He went to the king and said, now you give me those quarters in there for me and my school of prophets. And the king gave him a place in the palace for his school of his prophets. The same king that is going to try to kill him. And when the king said, go on, take off the head of that prophet and bring it to me. And the man went down, he sit down at the table with the sons of the prophets, and he said, oh, that fox want to take off my head. Go bar the door. Physical men barred the door and wouldn't let him in. He could have speak the word and killed him. When Elijah was on Mount Carmel and the king of Syria sent to take him, Elijah spoke the word and 50 men burned to cinders. He sent 50 more men and he spoke the word and the other 50 burned to cinders. He sent 50 more and this man knelt down. Said, please don't burn me. And he saved him. But the same thing happened to Elisha now. And when they came to Elisha, Elisha said, God, let me just put a blindness over their eyes so that they don't see me. And he went to them and told them, let me take you to Elijah. And he took them and surrounded them with the whole army of Israel. And the king said, let me kill them. And he said to the king, if you had taken your prisoners with your sword, would you give them to me to kill them? He said, no. Set food before them. Let them eat and be merry. And they eat and enjoy themselves. And he said, no, go back home. And the Bible recorded that they never came back to Israel as long as Elisha lived. So you're talking about power, and you're talking about how power is handled. You understand? One man did certain things, the other had so much power that he could have mercy. And he had a double portion, and I think we are the people of the double portion. Mm-hmm. Amen. See? Praise be to God. If that could answer the question. Yes, did it?
Yes. In accordance with what you're saying here, is God about a work today of reshaping the body, in other words, stripping churches and splitting churches and molding and bringing people to a certain place and getting them where he wants them to be, and as far as following certain teachings and getting them out of false doctrine, or you know, men that are with the elect maybe are following men that are have the ministry of man rather than the ministry of God, and God's going to remove certain people from there and have them go someplace else where they'll be following the ministry of God.
God has completely rejected this church system. And God is now concentrating on the body of Christ. He's calling people out of the church system to follow him. The scripture, he said, and I will, brother, help me here now. I'll get the shepherds, and the shepherds which did not feed my flock, and I will bring unto myself new shepherds. What's it now? Is it Ezekiel 33? Yes. You read that for me, brother. And you see exactly what God's doing. He's rejecting one set of shepherds because he gave them enough time. He called them to his wedding feast, they refused. He gave them enough time to do to repent, and they did not repent, and so he is creating out of nobodies, out of those that are not preachers, out of those that are not trained, he's creating a ministry unto himself. You read it for me, Brian.
You have it. Somebody else can read it.
Shepherds that will not feed my flock. Yes, that was the last message that
before there's something about this.
It was the last message.
Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and with severity you have dominated them. And they were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field, and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill, and my flock was scattered all over the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock even has become food for all the beasts of the field, for lack of a shepherd. My shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. I shall demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves any more, but I shall deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be food for them.
Yes. See, he's going to take them out from their mouth, that they may not be food for them. And it's a truth before God. As we sit here tonight, that every one of us have seen the divisiveness of these shepherds and what they have done to the flock, how they have become rich and prosperous. Hallelujah. I have seen poor little old ladies, old people who have no income, because their hearts have been so touched by these men of God, they turn around and give them their land, their property, their house that they live in as a mortgage to build great towers and great monstrosities, as they call it, the house of God. And do you know how many people have lost their property because they gave it to these these churches, these bodies, these men who make appeals on the radio and on the television. And this is what God is talking about. And